This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Visit progressive.com to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary, not available in all states or situations.
Welcome into the Tour Coach, everybody. We're about to begin a series here over the next four episodes, which is a flashback to my early days on the radio, on PGA Tour Radio Network, and our good friend Ralph Carroll, who produced and was partner on the radio show forever, found these in the archives. It's a series on simplifying golf from my late great mentor, Hank Johnson. If you listen to the podcast, the show, you've heard us talk about it many a times. And so I'm going to sit down with Jackson Court and Wayne Flint, and we're going to prelude each one and kind of talk about what we heard, how we transfer it to today's teaching. There's some brilliant insights and comments in this series of four, and I hope you'll enjoy it. Simplifying the game of golf for each of you here on the Tour Coach over the next four episodes. I'm super pumped, very excited about this. And I want to remind all of you out there, it's on Dew Sweeper TV. If you go to Dew Sweeper TV on our YouTube, we're going to have videos that accompany this that kind of explain it. Plus, we have no fluff, but real insights, real scenes from instruction with real students, real videos that go up each and every day. We even have some live video look-ins of lessons where you can watch us live on YouTube. So go check out Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube. Also follow us on all our social channels, including Instagram at The Dew Sweeper. And look, none of this would be possible about my boy Mitch McConnell at McConnell Automotive, Bushnell Golf, Shrix on Cleveland Golf, Ian and Amber and the folks at Vineyard Vines, and our new sponsor, Epic Western, Royce and the folks there. I mean, they do an unbelievable job. We've got some cool content coming out soon featuring them on a boat in Key West. Doesn't get much better than that. So keep watching Dew Sweeper TV and the Tour Coach on YouTube. We appreciate all the support. The views have been through the roof. It's some cool stuff. I'm having a blast doing it. And now sit back, listen, and enjoy a blast from the past. But this is some great insight, great instruction. I hope you all enjoy this next four episodes as much as I have enjoyed going back through them. And special thanks to Wayne and Jackson for doing it with me. Hi, welcome back into the Tour Coach here. And once again, joining me in this series, and this is kind of a cool thing to me. If you listen to the first one, you know it. Sitting down with my good friend, one of my mentors, Wayne Flint, one of the great teachers in the game of golf, and Jackson Court, who's been with us seemingly now forever. And we're rehashing an old series of interviews that was a series that we did on the old Dew Sweepers golf show on PGA Tour Radio that our good friend Ralph Carroll unearthed on his computer. All the old HJ on the Tee with HJ segments, and he did this series on Golf Swing Simplified, where he kind of simplified the things he thought that were important in the golf swing. And as you, if you listened to his last segment, you heard Wayne has always used a version of that in his teaching with his first lesson. I've taken that and used that as a lot of it, what I talk about in my first lesson and my information. I know Jackson's heard about it for years. And so we talked in the first one, we talked about the importance of a steady post. And that was that your spine, as you said, Wayne, you goes from your head, your post runs from your head down your spine, kind of out your rear end. You're in a balanced position and that post stays steady and doesn't move up and down or side to side in a swing. And Hank talked about the importance of that for as far as keeping the circle, the center of the circle consistent, for the importance of the strike, importance of the low point. And now we're going to move into what I think really kind of started me in my teaching down a big, you know, just always looking and trying to learn, but was Hank was big on rotation. And he said something about in the segment about everybody's, you know, everybody, how hard it is to turn, and people are always trying to turn. And a lot of times they don't do it because of physical limitations and stuff, which has set me on a path working with Colby and some of the people I do. But Wayne, jump in here with rotation and kind of what Hank meant, what he said, and how you've interpreted it.
Well, you know, I mean, we go way back into the mid 80s, and and did a bunch of Golf Digest schools with him. And I was lucky enough to be involved with Golf Digest program and become one of their teachers after many years of, you know, kind of being a range attendant, a director, and, you know, move my way up the ladder, so to speak. And then fortunate enough to teach with those guys. But, all of them had their own specialties. But, you know, Hank was one or two or three of them that really felt like, you know, the pivot motion was a really important and a really big part of getting better at golf. And, he wrote a great book called How to Win the Three Games of Golf. It's only been published one time, so, you know, people could get out there and find that on eBay. There's still some of them floating around out there. And
shout out to Connor Luke. He just bought his first copy.
There you go. And, you know, it's a great book. And, you know, amazingly, the first chapter is the number one chapter is called Pivot. Mm-hmm. And so he starts his book right off with the engine of the golf swing. And he felt strongly that, you know, once you got into a nice balanced setup and you could achieve a steady post, you know, not a post that was bobbing up and down or moving a lot side to side. And once you could keep that relatively steady and that you could learn to rotate your body to the right for a right-handed golfer and then shift and rotate back to the left for a right-handed golfer, that was the engine of the golf swing. That was the major power source. And, you know, he felt like a centered rotation, or a centered pivot, you know, that stayed, you know, on top of your feet and didn't let your balance roll to the sides of your feet. He felt like that was very, very important. And we all taught that a lot. And, you know, as I continue to teach, you know, today, I mean, it proves it every single day. I mean, the better I get people balanced and the more rotation I get to the right and back to the left, the better I see people play, because the rotation and the steady post, it delivers it the same every time, and it helps the low point of the swing be in the same place every time, which really helps for constant contact and consistent contact, where, you know, you're not bottoming out behind the ball and hitting it fat, or bottoming out behind the ball and missing the ground and then hitting up at it and sculling the ball. So, you know, the more you can get a consistent ball ground contact, the more solid you can hit your golf shots, and the better player you become a whole lot faster.
He said there were two quotes in there in this segment. I believe they're in this segment that I've used for 20 years now, but that I always thought were genius. And that was, he said, your hands and arms don't move your hands and arms. And talking about that, the pivot moves your hands and arms, and your pivot's what delivers the club. And then the other one is that you move the outside of the circle, because the swing's circuit, with the inside of the circle. I've always thought those were great, great quotes, great statements to explain to people. Jackson, tell me some of your takeaways and what you thought about this segment, which is obviously, you know, if you follow any of the stuff we do, you know, we teach a lot of rotation, whether it's me, Wayne, or you. We obviously teach a lot of pivot. We've even got new Vineyard Vines t-shirts that say fixing your game one pivot at a time. So, Jackson, I wanted to put fixing your life one pivot at a time, but I thought that was an overreach. But
yeah, I got to get one of those t-shirts.
Oh, you're going to get one for $89. I'm putting it on your next bill. You ever notice Wayne comes into every one of these interviews trying to get something free off me, Jackson?
I know. You know me.
He's taking over HJ's role, Hot Johnson. He always wanted something free.
What I noticed in the picture, too, was HJ was wearing the vest, not Drano.
Well, I took that over.
You know? Yeah. we're going to put that picture up for the when we put that pod out. It's going to be epic.
Yeah. So, talking about HJ being ahead of his time, one of the buzzwords that's been big last couple of years is about matchups. And oftentimes, you know, I think that's more in relation to the club and what that's doing to the face. But what Hank was talking about briefly in there, I think, was matchups in regards to pivot. And he had talked about how people will turn differently off the golf ball, where, you know, I think, Tony, your preference is probably having people wind their upper center into their lower body. But he had talked about how people do that, how some people turn a little bit more together with everything. And then he actually used Payne Stewart as an example. Speaking of Payne Stewart, with the U.S. Open being at Pinehurst this week. But he had talked about how Payne led the pivot a little bit more with his hips. And I think understanding those matchups, that to me is more of the baseline beginning for what happens in the golf swing and has a domino effect from there. And I think if you can understand and visualize those matchups, it creates a better picture for the swing in its entirety. And then, you know, after the matchups, I think it was beautiful to hear him talk about the sequence going through, you know, with the trunk or the lower body leading everything in the downswing and going through the golf ball.
Wayne, didn't you think it was really interesting, is the way he phrased it? He said, basically, there's several different ways to go back, but there's only really one way to go through.
You're exactly right. And you know, Tony, leave it to the best young teacher out there, in my opinion.
Eric?
To come up with leave it to Jackson, the best young guy out there, to come up with the most important thing HJ said, right? I mean, I think that's clearly the most important thing he said in that segment of how you can wind a bunch of different ways, but how there's really only one way to bring it down. Once you've wound it up, there's only one really good way to bring it down. So,
yeah,
you know, kudos to Jackson for figuring that out and figuring that was the most important thing. I mean, and clearly that's why he's, you know, excelling in his career right now.
Also, you know, shout out Jackson. Just got a little golf.com article out there. Very good job there, yeah, Jackson. Yeah, very good. Very good.
So,
Wayno,
well done, Jackson.
I thought this segment that he did on pivot, I mean, I really do believe this series, and there's a couple series that we're going to do some of these through the course of the year. But, like, I just thought that the record, I thought where Hank was brilliant was being able to take very complicated stuff that obviously the best players in the world could do, but he could boil it down to help a person that only maybe played golf once a week and didn't really hit me, but could help them. And I thought that was his brilliance.
He didn't make it so complex that, you know, people shied away from playing recreational golf. And again, he taught tour players, like we all have, and then he taught regular golfers at the club too, like we all should still do.
Correct.
And you know, I know sometimes we get kind of lost in the shuffle of teaching just good players and everything, but you know, I'm proud of the fact that I still teach a whole lot of beginning golfers that had never picked a golf club up. I think that's, you know, part of what we ought to do. And you know, the PGA is all about growing the game, and I think that's how you do grow the game. I think great teachers should give back and continue to teach beginning golfers to do that. And HJ, he for sure did that. He did that on an ongoing basis, right? He made the game that can be so complex that, you know, we can't get out of our own way sometimes when we play. But he made the game simple enough for your average guy that was going to hit balls once a month maybe, and maybe if he's lucky, get to play twice a month. He made the game fun for them and made them be able to continue to get better and continue to move forward and become a more proficient golfer with his simple methods of instruction that, and you know, which I think is amazing, have proven to be right 20, 30, 35 years later, right? Mm-hmm. All his stuff hasn't been proven wrong by all these great things that we have available to us to measure, right? He hasn't been proven wrong yet that I know of, and I'm proud, and I'm really fortunate that I was lucky enough to learn under him and all his buddies that were kind enough to share their information with me.
Wayno, awesome stuff there. Jackson, great stuff. Everybody listening, you're now going to listen to 10 minutes. It's going to be a flashback of what is some 16 years or so back to myself on the tee with Hank Johnson. And part two of our series of Golf Swing Simplified, talking about rotation from PGA Tour Radio. Hope you enjoy. Welcome back into the Dew Sweepers, everybody. It's a thrill to have joined us here once again on the show as we go on the tee with Hank Johnson, Dew Sweeper Insider, PGA Teacher of the Year, Golf Magazine Top 100 Teacher. Hank, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Tony. I hope you are.
Everything's going great. And, Hank, last week you started a series designed to help the golfers out there simplify their understanding of the golf swing, help simplify the learning process, and help get them in a more quick and easy way on the road to playing better golf and in a golf simplified version. Hank, if you don't mind, before we get into today's segment, kind of briefly take us over what you covered last week with the Steady Post.
Well, we talked about thinking of the upper trunk as a post that extends out behind you into the ground behind your heel line, and it's tilted toward the ball so that you can swing on a plane or incline plane that would make the club hit the ball since it's on the ground in front of you. And while that post is sort of the center of the swing, it's the center of the arc, it needs to stay steady so that it doesn't bob up and down or move from side to side. If that happens, then the arc doesn't come back through the ball and you have inconsistent striking, either unsolid or offline. So the top of the post is your head. The best way to think about this is just to understand that your head needs to stay steady throughout the swing so that your body can make a motion with an arc that's centered and going through the ball.
And Hank, real quick, just go over a couple of the common errors that would come from that could, you know, promote an unsteady post for the Dew Sweepers that didn't hear you last time.
Well, poor posture will, because then your body can't move correctly. If you attempt to move outside your range of flexibility, make a bigger swing than you have the physical capability to do, then your trunk will start to bob up and down just to accommodate that excessive motion. So you have to be making a swing length that you can successfully achieve given your physical makeup. Those are the two things that I see most often contributing to an unsteady head or an arc that's not centered.
And Hank, we move into today's segment, which is the second segment, and it is rotation. Go ahead and tell us about rotation, its importance, and what it means for us as far as becoming better golfers.
We've got the post defined. Your head's the top of it, and it's really the trunk. If you want to visualize the line down through your spine into the ground behind your heels, that's the post. Now, it can't move, or it shouldn't move, bob up and down or sway. But it does need to rotate because that's what really creates the motion of the swing. It turns back and through, basically a rotation of your shoulders and your hips, but without that post shifting or bobbing up and down very much. So you have rotation, but it stays centered so that the arc stays centered.
And, Hank, you know, I guess this would be for one of the things that when you look at the average golfer out there, the handicap player, this is probably the one thing that you really see that they don't have, that you see a lot of folks moving the club with their hands and arms around their body, but not a lot of folks using their core or their rotation to move the club.
Well, Tony, turning's hard, and people tend to try to find things to do that are not quite so difficult, so they find things to substitute for turning. And it can be excessive arm movement. It can be bobbing up and down. It can be excessive hand movement of the club. A lot of things people come up with to do instead of turning, none of them seem to work very well. But it's just pretty natural to try to avoid something that's difficult to do. And rotating the body correctly is not an easy thing to do or a habit to create.
And, Hank, you have here on your segment, which, again, is available for all you Dew Sweepers out there on DewSweepersGolfShow.com, about how the highly skilled players learn to use their hip turn. You mind covering that for folks out there?
Well, if you think about shoulder turn and hip turn in the backswing, you got a lot of options. Some players use the shoulder turn to pull the hips around. Some players turn them both back at the same time. There have even been a few players along the way that use the hips to initiate the backswing. Payne Stewart would have been an example of that, and let the shoulders finish it. Now, coming back the other way, you don't have as many options because all really good players use their hips to power their shoulder turn through the ball. So the hips are leading, turning, pulling on the shoulders, and the shoulders are following the hips, and they don't come in line with the hips until after impact. So you got some options going back, but the sequence going through, you really don't have that many options. Now, you can hit a ball effectively by turning your hips and shoulders together going both ways. That doesn't create any loading in the body. You can hit it straight. You just can't hit it very far. But some players have to play that way if they've got bad backs or some physical restriction where they can't create that lag or separation between their hips and their shoulders in the forward swing, then they have to keep them together. And what you sacrifice is power. You can still have plenty of accuracy. You just don't have as much power.
And Hank, talk about some of the common errors that would contribute, you know, to folks out there not being able, you know, to rotate in a proper way during their golf swing.
Well, bad posture will sabotage it for sure. So you got to start with a good athletic posture. If you have a lack of flexibility in your trunk and hips, that will cause you to not be able to separate your shoulder turn and your hip turn. And you have to have an adequate range of motion in the areas of your spine. Your thoracic spine is the part of your spine between your shoulder blades. And it's responsible for the rotation in the golf swing. Cervical spine, the neck, has rotational capacity, but it basically lets you turn your shoulders without moving your head. So it's fixed. It doesn't create motion. It just accommodates the motion of your shoulder turn. Lateral shifting of the hips in the forward swing in an attempt to create power is another thing that totally disrupts rotation. You can't have side-to-side shifting and rotation very effectively because the center is moving. Another thing is just physical training, lack of core stability, lack of stability in the lower body. Those are the things that I see contributing to the fact that players can't keep their head steady and turn.
You know, Hank, one of the things in that list that you talked about was the shifting, you know, that you can't shift and turn at the same time. And I think, and like your opinion, one of the things that people are confused on, they've read a lot of different things and heard a lot of different things, but there's a lot of people that are trying to shift from the top of their backswing, and that's one reason that they struggle with rotation in their forward swing.
Well, I think, too, Tony, it depends on what you do going back. Now, if you shift going back, if you shift in the backswing, then you have to shift going forward to get back into the same position to rotate through the ball. So I think it's really just a matter of your preference in the backswing. If you don't shift going back, it's hard for me to come up with a reason why you'd want to shift going forward. So it's a matter of what you want to do. I like for the hips and shoulders to stay centered between the feet and not shift a whole lot from right to left, and certainly not up and down.
And, Hank, obviously this is the power source of a good golf swing. Talk about some things that you have your students do to work on this, to improve this, drills that you might use or ways that they can work on it to improve their rotation in their golf swing.
Well, I think you have to build the rotation or the pivot independently of trying to hit golf balls. I do a lot of drills. I have them look in a mirror and really understand what it looks like when they do it correctly. There's some other things that you can do if you don't overdo them. You can hit balls with your feet together, which really requires you to rotate. Can't be any sliding or shifting. If your feet are together, you'll fall down if you have much side-to-side shifting. But I just try to get them to understand what they're trying to do and to learn to make a good pivot motion without trying to hit a ball at the same time.
And, Hank, along those same lines, I think I know the answer to this. Do you help people learn to do a lot of this with short shots, pitching and chipping of the ball, to learn to get the feel for developing rotation and a pivot motion?
Yeah, I think that's the way to start, Tony. And you can even do it in putting, but there's no lower body pivot in putting. But hitting little chips, pitches, and getting the mechanics correct in those strokes are certainly the fastest way to do it. And then you can just transfer those skills over into the full swing with longer clubs.
And, Hank, what would be some keys for folks if they're out there and maybe they're driving around and they're not sure whether they have a good pivot or not? What would be some symptoms that you don't have proper rotation in your golf swing?
Well, that's going to be a list that will take up the rest of your show. But, you know, if you're not getting solid contact, then the first thing I would look for is a post that isn't staying steady. Your head's not staying steady. If it's not that, then you're compensating with your hands or your arms. Your pivot motion, the rotation of your body, is not driving the swing. You know, you may be disconnected. We're going to talk about that in a segment coming up in a week or so. Your arms may be running away from your body, but I think anything in your shot pattern that's inconsistent to lead back to a faulty tip.
Hank, some great information here. I really think the first two things you've covered in this series between steady post and rotation, boy, they're just really critical for people to understand and to get better. And yet, Hank, at the same time, you've really boiled it down into a real simple way for people to understand how to get better.
Well, I hope we're making it more simple, because people, unless they have an unlimited amount of time to practice, need to get really, really good at a small number of things. And most people are trying to do way too many things in their golf swing. A lot of them not really necessary.
Hank, great stuff as always. We appreciate you coming on, and we'll look forward to catching up with you next week here on the Dew Sweepers.
Thanks, Tony. Good to be with you.
Don't forget everything that you just heard and some videos that accompany it that kind of help explain it are available for you for this whole series on our YouTube channel. Check out our YouTube, Dew Sweeper TV on YouTube, where we have daily insights, daily live look-ins, instruction with real students. It's real life scenes where you can help improve your game or even just have a good time. I'm Tony Ruggiero. Thanks for watching The Tour Coach.